More than 100 families evacuated following Mount Bulusan's eruption. We'll talk to Sorsogon Governor and Senator-elect Francis Escudero about the plight of the affected residents. Volcanologists warn alert level 1 could remain over Bulusan for a month. Time to gas up as local oil firms are set to implement another big pump price hike. And in sports, the Golden State Warriors even up the NBA Finals with a dominant performance in Game 2. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Our top story at this hour, more than 100 families have been evacuated following the eruption of Bulusan volcano in Sorsogon Sunday. Ashfall covered areas near the volcano, even reaching as far as Kasiguran and Irosin. Residents have also been told to stay indoors and to wear face masks due to poor air quality. Sources of clean water also now becoming a problem for residents.
Daming ano lang abo. Hindi, naganuhan kami doon. Hanggang sa bahay namin, pasok sa bahay namin. Lahat nagkaaran na doon, balala ang mga halaman namin, mga tinanim ng masagin. Baran na po ang mga kadahunan doon.
Halos ongoing pa daw yung pagdating ng tao dahil hindi daw talaga kaya yung amoy ng asupre doon sa kanilang lugar. Number one talaga na pangangailangan ay tubig. Kaya nga hanggang ngayon, nag-overtime pa yung ating mga team, nagdala po ng tubig, pati yung mga CSO. Kasi yung lugar na apektado ay yung kanilang primary source ng kanilang tubig ay spring. So yung spring na yun, possible kasi na talagang yun ay nahaluan na ng abo mula sa bulkan.
Sorsogon Governor and Senator-elect Cheese Escudero visited an evacuation center Sunday night, handing out food packs and other basic necessities to affected residents. Escudero says he will allow evacuees to return home if there is no more volcanic activity in the next 2 to 3 days, but state seismologists say more explosions are still possible as the volcano remains under alert level 1. Disaster officials also bracing for more evacuees.
We're still waiting for other figures if the other municipalities have conducted evacuation procedures. The wind direction yesterday was of a westerly direction. That's why some of the communities in the western side of the volcano were the ones who had experienced the heavy ashfall. But so far, we don't have any report of casualties.
Evacuees from Irosin Town in Sorsogon have returned to their homes as rains wash away the ashfall from Mount Bulusan's eruption. Mayor Alfredo Cielo says visibility has also improved, although the volcano continues to emit smoke.
Yung barangay po yung napiktuhan dito sa amin, sa Irosin, yung amoy ng asupre, tsaka yung usok, mas pandin po yung sa mga bata at saka may asma. Kaya yung iba, umalis ng madaling ilang oras, tapos po kaya bumalik din kasi masorte rin dahil umulan. Nung umulan, alis po yung nabasa, tapos na gumilid yung mga pala sa bubong, nabilid na po yung mga tubo. Sa ngayon po, maputi ang uso kasi malinaw din yung panahon, mainit. Mm. Tapos, pero bihira din itong ganito na may usok.
The Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology says Mount Bulusan can be under alert level 1 for up to a month if volcanic activity continues. Alert level 1 means a volcano is exhibiting low-level unrest. FIVOX adds it's hard to predict if the volcano will erupt again, so it's best to maintain a safe distance from it.
That is why we have a permanent danger zone to remind people that even if the volcano is seemingly normal, but beneath there can be boiling of water that can trigger a phreatic eruption. And that is the purpose of the permanent danger zone. The step necessary to prevent any disaster for a volcano is to maintain a safe distance and not entering the permanent danger zone.
The health department sending face masks to areas affected by the Bulusan ashfall. Secretary Francisco Duque III says they're also monitoring the health situation in evacuation centers.
have also already instructed the distribution of N95 masks and N88 surgical masks to protect our people from the ash fall and its impact on eyes. Kaya may advisory tayo on eye care, on respiratory care, as well as the proper handling and preparation of food and, of course, boiling of water. Our local health care frontliners, together with the DOH, they are monitoring the health situation there. Dahil alam mo na ba, pag-ibig sa mga evacuation centers, yung hawaan, malakas ang possibility niya, ano? Kasi halos tabi-tabi na naman ng mga tao dyan. So, we continuously remind them of the health protocols that we have already put in place.
Malacanang closely monitoring the situation in Sorsogon. It tells residents to remain vigilant amid the continued threat of more volcanic activities. Meanwhile, the office of the Vice President, Eleni Robredo, has begun its own relief operation to provide affected families with clean water and face masks. And for more on the situation in Sorsogon, we're now joined by Governor and Senator-elect Francis Chis Escudero. Senator-elect, Governor, I don't know what to call you now. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carmina. Magandang hapon sa iyo at sa ating televiewers.
Okay, first of all, tell us about the situation as we speak. Has it improved? Is it continued to, does it continue to improve?
Carmina, it has been sensationalized to a large extent because the ashfall only happened for about 17 minutes. Tumigil na yung ashfall, makalipas ang 17 minuto, umulan ng konti, so bumaba din agad yung nasa ulap. So by lunchtime, nagsisimula na kami maglinis kahapon pa. Hanggang ngayon, kiniklear namin ang mga kalye, mga bahay, gamit ang iba't ibang fire trucks mula sa iba't ibang munisipyo. At yung apektadong barangay lang naman ay isa, yung Puting Sapa. Humigit kumulang 216 na individual lamang ang inilikas mula sa barangay na yon. Mm-hmm. Yung binanggit na barangay nung una, yung walong barangay, which includes about 5 towns in Rusin, actually nakaabot lang yung abo doon. Pero wala naman talagang kinailangang i-evacuate. Most of our evacuees are from one barangay only, which we relocated to another barangay near the center of the town. At doon muna sila mananatili for the next few days dahil hindi kami masagot ng P-box. Puputok ba uli? Maglalabas ba uli ng abo? Ano bang klaseng pagputok? Uh-huh. Bakit kami walang warning sign? Naka-alert level 0 ang Bulusan? Wala ba man lang silang nakitang pagbabago sa bago naglabas ng abo ang Bulusan? Ayon sa kanila ay wala daw.
Mm. All right. So, Governor, is this, you mentioned a while ago that it's largely been sensationalized, the reports about the eruption. You've started to clean up. But is that the reason why you also said that if there's no more volcanic activity in the next 2 to 3 days, that you'll be sending these evacuees home? FIVOX, however, says, state seismologists also say that more explosions are still possible because there's still volcanic activity. Aren't you going to put your constituents' lives in danger by sending them home?
Carmina, the 4-kilometer danger zone has been free of residents since I became governor. Wala namang delikado ang buhay dahil yung 4-kilometer danger zone, wala na talagang bahay doon. Barangay lamang na inabot ng abo yung apektado. So wala namang immediate na panganib sa buhay nila. At you have to understand too, we disrupted the lives of these people. Face-to-face na kami dito. So apektado rin yung mga bata. Of the 216 individuals that we evacuated, majority of them are children below the age of 18. So kung wala nang dahilan, wala namang rason na patagalin pa para bumalik na sa normal muli yung buhay nila. Pero mamonitor namin dahil base sa 2016 data namin, hindi galing sa FIVOX, posibleng pumutok yung bulkan ng 1 to 2 linggo, 2 to 3 days apart. Pero kung walang pagputok na magaganap for the next 2 to 3 days since the eruption last Sunday, malamang hindi na uli yung puputok based on track record at experience ng mga tao dito. At gusto na rin naman umuwi ng aming mga kababayan para magsimula na rin silang magkumpuni ng kanilang mga tahan.
Mm-hmm. So you're largely basing your decision on what you're experiencing there, Governor Escudero. Why hasn't the FIVOX been in touch with you? Sabi niyo kanina, wala kayong naririnig mula sa kanila. Ano po ang rason?
No, I talked to them last night, Carmina, but apparently the science involving this particular field is not that exact. I had so many questions, but apparently iba-iba ang klase ang vulkan, iba-iba ang history nila, hindi naman porkit yun ang nangyayari noon, ganun pa rin yung mangyayari ngayon. Hindi porkit noon naglindol muna bago pumutok, ngayon ganun din. Apparently, it's not an exact science. So all we can do is monitor and see what will happen in the next few days. But the smoke you're seeing is merely smoke and it's not there's no ash. Hopefully, may LPA na parating sa ilang araw. Hindi bagyo at sana mahugasan din yung hindi kayang abutin ng mga bombero namin, lalo na yung pinaka-interior ng mga lugar.
So glad you clarified that for us, because for a while there you sounded as if there was no communication, hindi masabi kung ano ba talaga. But glad you clarified that it is only because there's no exact science to it. Talk to us about the air quality there, Governor. Is it better now compared to last Sunday's?
Umulan, Carmina, matapos mag-emit ng ash ang Bulusan. So, in a few hours afterwards, wala naman ang problema. Ang problema mo na ngayon, yung abo, yung ash, na nasa kalye, yung nasa ibabaw ng bubong, na syempre, abo pa rin yun, ash pa rin yun, pag hinangin, kaya naglilinis kami mula kahapon pa ng tanghali, a few hours after Bulusan erupted.
Wala namang danger ng lahar flow?
By experience again, Carmina, since the first eruption, since 1852, wala naman. Walang ganong klase ng pagputok ang Bulusan. Wala rin, base sa karanasan namin, na linalabas na lava o lava flow na umaabot sa populated areas o batong sinusuka yung vulkan na nakakarating na milya-milya ang layo. Kadalasan, in recent history, siguro ko the past 5 decades or 50 years, abo ang binubuga ng Bulusan. Pero nung umulan nga kahapon, matapos lumabas yung abo, agad bumaba naman yun. Agad nag-dissipate. Ang kailangan namin ngayon, maglinis para yung abong nasa lupa hindi umangat uli sa hangin kapag dinadaanan ng kotse o kapag humahangin ng malakas.
I know, Governor, that you've made a lot of improvements there in Sorsogon since you became Governor, Governor Escudero. But when it comes to disaster preparedness, particularly volcanic eruptions, how prepared is Sorsogon for these?
Well, again, we maintain the 4-kilometer danger zone. Walang nakatira doon. Bawal talaga. At pinababantayan namin mula na naging gobernador ako. Pangalawa, handa kami sa mga ganitong uri ng kalamidad, kabilang ang mga bagyo. May sariling water filtration facility ang lalawigan na kinuha namin noong nagsimula din ako maging gobernador. Kaya hindi kami magkukulang sa potable water. Doon sa malalayong barangay na hindi marating, kompleto rin kami pagdating sa aqua tabs na pwedeng ihalo sa tubig at magiging malinis na rin yon. Meron din kaming ilang life straw na tinatawag para sa malalayong lugar talaga. Pwedeng magamit yung life straw na malinis agad na tubig ang masisip-sip nila mula dun sa straw. At panghuli, nakahanda din kami kaugnay sa evacuation centers dahil matagal naman ang TTMF facilities na dahil wala ng kaso ng COVID sa Sorsogon ay nagagamit namin bilang evacuation center na dati nang may mga divider, dati nang may mga harang, hindi ko na pinalis. Habang may ganito pang posibilidad na mga kalamidad, pagputok man ng vulkan o kalamidad sa pamamagitan ng bagyo o pagbaha.
When you talk to residents, they will tell you that they've seen a lot of improvements since you sat as governor. How sure are you that these will continue once you go back to the Senate?
Tulungan naman yon ang Carmina, yung mga improvements na nagawa. Gusto rin naman ng tao, lahat ng nanalo dito, yun din naman ang gusto, kakampi man o hindi. Nagkataon din naman, kakampi ko rin naman yung mga nanalo dito, lalo na yung bagong gobernador, lahat ng board members. So tiwala ako that they will build upon it, improve on it, and make it even better compared to where it is now. Hindi naman ako perfecto, Carmina, yung nagawa lahat ng bagay. Importante at mahalaga pa rin na dagdagan yung mga nasimula namin dito. Sana paakyat ng paakyat at hindi na bumalik sa mababang pinanggalingan.
All right. So I'm talking to you now as an incoming senator, as a senator-elect. We're only counting weeks before you go back to the Senate, go back to that national post. How are you preparing for it? And what is it that you're going to work on immediately, given the myriad of problems that the country is facing right now, senator-elect?
Let me disagree with you, Carmina. I will start thinking regarding of my job as a senator on July 1. Tingnan mo na lamang ito nga, ilang araw, ilang linggo na lamang ako bilang gobernador, pinutukan pa ako ng vulkan. So tatapusin ko muna ito hanggang tanghalian ng June 30 bago ako magsimulang mag-isip, maghanda, magprepara sa panibago ko na namang papel, trabaho at larangan.
Pero iba ang panahon na papasukan nyo ngayon. kumpara dun sa kung kailan kayo nagsimula bilang first-termer. Iba ang problema. I'm sure you're thinking about it as well. In past interviews, you've said a lot of key legislation that you would want to work on. So out of all those pieces of legislation that you'd want to work on, which is it that you're going to give your main focus on?
I said that during the campaign, Carmina. We will focus on the recovery of the economy by focusing on agriculture and MSMEs. Legislation is needed in order to allocate more budget for these two sectors, which are key, I believe, in the recovery of our country. Number two, we also have to focus on the looming energy crisis our country will be facing in the next couple of months, if not at the tail end of this year. Hindi lamang simpleng problema sa supply ng kuryente, problema rin sa presyo ng kuryente. Mataas na nga, kulang pa. At sa muling pagbangon ng ating ekonomiya, hindi naman yata magandang kalagayan at sitwasyon yun na mataas o kulang ang kuryente natin habang gusto nating muling pabangunin at paikutin ang makina ng ekonomiya natin. Pangatlo, nandun pa rin naman yung pandemya at importante at kailangan pa rin manatili yung ating pagiging handa kaugnay dito dahil hindi natin alam kung kailan nga ba ito muli tataas ang bilang ng kaso, pero sana hindi na tayo at huwag na tayo bumalik sa lockdown regime, ika nga, na muling magpapatigil sa pag-iikot ng ekonomiya, magpapatigil sa mga paaralan at eskwelahan, at magpapatigil sa pagtakbo ng ordinaryo at normal na buhay. Hindi new normal, Carmina, kung hindi dating normal.
Governor, what is it that being a governor of Sorsogon taught you that you didn't know before when you were sitting as a congressman, as a senator, that now that you're going back, mas pagtutuunan niyo ng pansin na ganun pala dapat ang diskarte, ganito pala dapat ang mga batas na isinusulong natin sa Senado?
Carmina, mas yung local autonomy. Na-discover ko bilang gobernador dahil wala naman sa batas yun. Lumabas lamang sa mga memorandum circular, sa mga rules and regulations, sa mga kautusan na inisyon ng Department of Budget and Management, ng DILG at ng COA. Ang sobrang pakikialam ng national government sa mga bagay-bagay na dapat hinahayaan na lamang ang mga lokal na pamahalaan dahil mas alam namin kung anong kailangan gawin sa aming mga lugar kumpara sa kanila. At sang-ayon sa autonomiya na nakasaad sa saligang batas at sa local government code, dapat hinahayaan na po kami. Isa yan sa mga bagay na hindi ko lamang kaklaruhin. Titiyakin kong ipagbabawal at para mabigyan ng tunay na kahulugan ang local autonomy sa ating saligang batas. May mga nagsusulong ng federalismo sa ating bansa, samantalang ang autonomiya ni hindi pa nga lubusang naibibigay talaga sa mga lokal na pamahalaan.
Yeah, I want to get into that right now because I was going to ask you, is this enough for you to actually push for federalism or that's jumping way ahead?
That's jumping way, way ahead, Carmina. I'll try to answer it briefly without saying that I'm opposed to it. Our closest experiment to federalism is CAR, Cordillera Autonomous Region, and BARM. Cordillera hasn't even been implemented yet. These are the two autonomous regions found in our constitution. Cordillera hasn't even been implemented yet. It lost in two or three plebiscites. BARM, up to last term, we were still trying to perfect it. If we haven't even perfected autonomy or the closest to federalism in these two regions who remain to be the poorest regions in our country, why will we experiment on it in all of the regions of the country? Mm. We're not even beginning to talk about the budgetary requirements to do this and to set it up. We're not even talking about the bureaucracy needed to put this up and set it up. We're not even computing the source of revenue for ERA of poorer local government units if all of a sudden Calabar Zone or NCR will be considered as quote-unquote federal regions. It will still take a lot of work, Carmina, a lot of pencil pushing, a lot of studies, a lot of backroom computations before a proposal, I think, will be presented in regard to federalizing the entire country.
Okay, I want to talk now about your impending stint at the Senate this early. I think it was last week when Senate President Vicente Soto III also, you know, furthered the importance of having an independent Senate. This is a whole new batch that you're coming into right now. What do you think, or what can you say about the independence of a Senate in, or the importance of an independent Senate in a Marcos Jr. presidency?
Under any presidency, Carmina, it's important. Whatever the last name of the president may be, it's important to have an independent Senate, at least a Senate that people can run to if they have complaints against government, instead of either going out in the streets or being violent. It's best that there is an avenue by which any complaints that the people that haven't been addressed by government can perhaps be aired at the Senate.
Finally, in our last interview, you did make a mention of your ties that bind you to the Marcoses. And more specifically, President-elect Bongbong Marcos Jr. The question now is, Senator-elect Escudero, where does your loyalty to him end? And where does your loyalty to the people begin? Is that even something that you think of, or that's not even a factor at all?
Carmina, can I go back to, may I return the question and ask what ties you're referring to? Is it in relation to me or my father?
Your father and yourself as well. You said kinakapatid nyo, I remember in the past interview.
But Carmina, I also ran against him in 2016, and we both lost. Mm. In the last elections, I stated publicly that I voted for Vice President Leni Robredo, among other things, because she's from Switzerland. She grew up here. So it doesn't start or end anywhere in relation to my running and serving and having the country's interest in mind from day one to the last day. Again, regardless of who the president may be. I consider former Senate, President elect Marcos a friend. The same is true with all of the other candidates who ran for public office, regardless of whether or not we ran against each other. What's important to bear in mind is, given the huge mandate he has received, over 16 million and a majority president, I think we owe it to him to give him a chance to do what he thinks is right and best. And not complain at the outset and see where it will go. Para sa akin, nasa interest ng bansa yun. Nabigyan ng pagkakataon, yung mandatong binigay sa kanya na magamit at gamitin niya para pagsilbihan tayong lahat at ang ating bansa.
After all, we only have one country, right? And our loyalty should be to country and not the candidate. Final question, Senator-elect. Are you going to be part of the minority or the majority?
I haven't decided yet, Carmina. I haven't talked to anyone actually in the Senate. Again, as I said, ilang araw na lang sana ako, ilang linggo na lang sana akong gobernador. Puputukan pa ako ng bulkan at kailangan kong tapusin yung trabaho ko rito hanggang katanghalian ng June 30. I think I'll start thinking about it probably after lunch of June 30 or July 1. Then perhaps we can talk again, Carmina, after my job as governor is finished, because I swore to perform that duty and job until the very last day and hour of June 30, noontime, or to be exact, 11:59.
You haven't talked to any one of them yet, but have you been taking calls or have you been getting calls?
Yes, I haven't talked to anyone, but some people have talked to me already, but I told them it's still too far off. The Senate will open, Carmina, more than a month and a half from now. Ang tagal-tagal pa naman, siguro mas tamang panahon yun pag senador na talaga ako muli. At hindi habang gobernador pa ako na may problema pa kaming kinakaharap.
All right. Governor Cheese Escudero there. Senator-elect as well. Governor of Sorsogon, thank you for joining us today. All the best to you. Take care and keep safe.
Likewise, Carmina. Ingat ka.
Ikaw din. All right. From there, we're going to get a report on the ground in Sorsogon. We're now joined by our correspondent, Jose Carretero, who's in the town of Huban. Jose, over to you. Jose, really sorry to do this to you, but we're going to have to drop the call and get back to you as soon as we reestablish our connection with you. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, two new mass shooting incidents rock the U.S. We'll give you details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. You're still Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The Philippine Disaster Agency revising its figures, saying the number of evacuated families following Bulusan's eruption is only more than 50. Sorsogon Governor Francis Escudero also says the eruption has been sensationalized, stating the ashfall only lasted 17 minutes. Volcanologists warn alert level 1 could remain over Balusan for a month. Time to gas up as local oil firms are set to implement another big price hike. And in sports, the Golden State Warriors even up the NBA Finals with a dominant performance in a Game 2. And we have him back on the line. We're going to get a report now on from the ground in Sorsogon. We're joined by our correspondent, Jose Carretero. He is in the town of Huban. Jose?
Good afternoon, Carmina. Bulusan volcano is calm and quiet as of this moment after it showed unrest yesterday morning. For the last 24 hours, people recorded 25 volcanic quakes. Alert level 1 is now hoisted over Bulusan volcano. Civil Sorsogon resident volcanologist April Dringian says since Bulusan is on alert level 1, phreatic eruption still possible. Meanwhile, Governor Jesus Cudero of Sorsogon says clearing operations in areas affected by thick ash is ongoing. 8 fire trucks are deployed to help in cleaning ashes, particularly in Barangay Puting Sapa, which is hardly hit by ashfall. Cleaning operation is expected to be done until tomorrow. Some 60 families or 173 individuals are staying in evacuation centers. These are from Barangay Puting Sapa. Their needs like food and water are being taken care of well by the local government unit. Governor Scudero also says it will implement food for work programs to affected families. They will be given food packs in exchange of rendering cleaning service in the affected communities. Scudero also reiterates there's no need to declare state of calamity. He also assures the provincial government has enough calamity funds since the allocated calamity fund for this year has not been used. Should the volcano remain calm in 2 to 3 days, Governor Scudero will implement the campaign. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Jose Carretero, there joining us from the town of Huban in Sorsogon. Take care, Jose, and keep safe. Switching gears now, the Golden State Warriors deliver a statement win to tie their series with the Boston Celtics. ABS-CBN North America Bureau Chief TJ Manotok now joins us with a recap of Game 2 of the NBA Finals. TJ, good afternoon from Manila. Over to you.
Good evening from San Francisco, Carmina. And, of course, the Golden State Warrior fans are ecstatic now that the finals are tied at one game apiece. This time, their massive third-quarter run spelled a difference for the Golden State Warriors as they outscored the Celtics 35-14 and opened up that 23-point huge lead to open the fourth quarter. And this time, they did not allow the Celtics to even sniff out a comeback attempt. Steph Curry led that huge third-quarter run with 14 of his 29 points, which he led all scorers. He got ample support from Jordan Poole off the bench, who had 17 points. If anything of a point of concern, so for the Warriors, Klay Thompson, his splash brother, still not up to par, as he only had 11 points in 4 of 19 shooting. Remember, Klay had 15 points on 6 of 14 shooting in Game 1, and he himself admitted that he and the rest of the Warriors got too comfortable in the fourth quarter in Game 1, and they needed to come out with a sense of urgency and desperation in Game 2 tonight. But nonetheless, a big statement win still by the Warriors to even the series, heading out now to Boston for Games 3 and 4. As for the Celtics, they did have a huge start with their first 6 minutes and kept it close until halftime, but they had no answer for the Warriors' big third-quarter rally. Turnovers was a big eyesore for the Celtics, giving up the ball 19 times. That became 33 turnover points for the Warriors. Jason Tatum had a great game with 20 points, but only 17 from Jaylen Brown and 12 from Derek White, and only 2 points each from Al Horford and Marcus Smart, who were huge in Game 1. Coach Steve Kerr credits Curry's aggressiveness and even defense, aside from his shooting in the third quarter. Meanwhile, Boston coach Ime Udoka was disappointed in their performance, as he knows they can play much, much better, and they're ready to get back in Game 3 at home.
Well, Steph was breathtaking in that quarter. Not just the shot-making, but the defensive effort. He just doesn't get enough credit for his level of conditioning and physicality and defense. People go at him to try to wear him down because they know how important he is to us offensively. And it's pretty dramatic, the difference in Steph's strength and physicality and his body now than from 8 years ago when I first got here. So the guy's amazing. He just keeps working on his game, his strength, his conditioning, year after year, and it's a pleasure to watch him play every night.
Again, we didn't play up to our potential and our standard. And so regardless of what happened to game one, that's behind us. And we had opportunities, like I said, to, you know, give up 18 of their 52 in the first half based off turnovers. You know, obviously allowed them to be in that situation up two. So opportunities to play much better. One wasted in the first half, and then obviously the third quarter got away from us even more. As opposed to the first half where we turned it over a lot, we were still scoring. It worked against us in that half. Not only the turnovers, but poor offense. And a lot of those led to leakouts as well.
Carmina, game three will be on Wednesday night at the TD Garden over in Boston as they host games three and four before the series shifts back here for game five in San Francisco. Carmina?
All right, one question for you, Tej. Of course, it was a statement win. That's what people are calling it. But will they be able to sustain it and make another statement win and another statement win for them to win the finals?
Well, that's exactly what Coach Steve Kerr and Steph Curry were talking about even yesterday in practice. To win a championship, you have to prove you can win on the road, meaning in the house of the other team. And they've done that in the past. They've done that in this year's playoff run so far. And they're confident that they have enough in terms of the material and the experience to do just that in Boston in game number three. So that should be a really good one, because here's a fun stat. When a final series is tied one game apiece, the winner of game three goes on to win the finals 82% of the time. So that is a very, very crucial game three on Wednesday.
And Ime Udoka and the Boston Celtics, they know this.
Absolutely. They are very familiar with it. They know they can play much better at home. It's just a matter of being sharper with the turnovers and hopefully that they get that home crowd behind them, as tonight the crowd here at the Chase Center was even louder game one. So they were obviously a bigger boost for the Warriors tonight.
All right. Thanks a lot. Our North America Bureau Chief there, TJ Manotok, joining us live from San Francisco. Thanks, Tej. Take care. Keep safe. Back in the newsroom, world news now. At least 49 people are confirmed dead and 300 others are injured after a fire tore through a container depot in southeastern Bangladesh over the weekend. According to state media, the fire started Saturday night at the container depot in Sitakunda. That's in Chittagong district. Among the dead are at least 9 firefighters deployed to help put out the fire. 2 firefighters remain missing. The depot's owner said they would provide compensation to the families of the workers who died in the fire. Well, 6 people are killed and more than 25 others injured in the latest mass shooting incidents to rock the United States. Multiple shooters opened fire into a crowd on a busy street in Philadelphia Saturday night. Philadelphia police say 2 men and a woman were killed. Responding officers observed several active shooters. Meanwhile, at least 3 people were killed and more than a dozen injured early Sunday in a city in Tennessee after gunfire and fleeing vehicles struck bystanders. Chattanooga police say more than 1 shooter was involved. The U.S. has been plagued with gun violence and mass shootings in recent weeks, including tragedies at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, as well as in a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, that have left dozens dead. Russia launches missile strikes at Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, for the first time in more than a month. Ukraine says the strike hit railway infrastructure, while Moscow claims it had destroyed tanks sent by Eastern European countries to Ukraine. Hours after the attack, Russian President Vladimir Putin warned Moscow would hit new targets if the West supplies Ukraine with long-range missiles. He did not specify which targets he meant. The United States last week announced it would supply Ukraine with advanced missile systems. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky visits communities near the eastern front lines. The city of Lysychansk is just a few kilometers south of Severodonetsk, where one of the war's biggest ground battles is taking place. There he met with residents and refugees from other cities, assuring them of victory. Zelensky's trip could be the closest to the front line yet. The battle for control of Severodonetsk rages on. Russian forces control about 70% of the city, but the governor of the Lugansk region claims they have retaken some areas. Another high-ranking U.S. official will visit Asian countries this month in a bid to strengthen Washington's ties with the region. The tour of U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman will include the Republic of Korea, Vietnam, Laos, and the Philippines. In Manila, she will meet with President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr. and senior members of the incoming and outgoing administrations. They are expected to discuss new ways to deepen relations between Manila and Washington. Sherman's visit to Asia, which will run from June 5 to 14, follows last month's U.S.-ASEAN special summit and President Joe Biden's visit to Japan and the Republic of Korea. The party of President-elect Marcos says it spent 272 million pesos to mount his campaign. Let's get more details now from our correspondent, Katrina Domingo. Kat, over to you.
Hi, Carmina. That's right. The Partido Federal ng Pilipinas said that it spent about 272 million pesos for the presidential campaign of its standard bearer, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., for this year's election season. In a statement, the party's general counsel, George Priona, said that the amount is well below the maximum expenditure of 337 million pesos allowed by the law for a national political party. Carmina, it's important to note that this amount only covers the expenses of Marcos's political party and not Marcos himself as a candidate. The deadline for the filing of SOSE for all parties would be on June 8th, which is about 2 days from now. Carmina, so far we have already received word that the document has already been filed at the Commission on Elections, and we are still waiting for incoming Press Secretary Trixie Angeles to give a press briefing so that we could ask her more details about this expenditure document. Carmina.
All right. So no word yet as to where the bulk of the money went?
No breakdown. As of now, Carmina, we have yet to see the actual document that was filed with the COMELEC, but we will certainly be asking those questions in the press conference this afternoon. Carmina.
All right. Thanks a lot. Katrina Domingo there joining us on the line. Take care, Kat, and you keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr. says he will keep on vlogging even after he officially takes his oath as the Philippines' new leader on June 30. In the latest episode of his YouTube vlog over the weekend, Marcos said he plans to use the platform to update the public about his activities and to directly interact with the people.
Kailangan ko talagang na ipaliwanag kung ano yung aming mga ginagawa. Ipaalam sa inyo kung ano ba sa inyong palagay ay ang tama na dapat gawin at kung ano pa. At marinig ang inyong comment kung ano pa ang mga kakulangan na dapat tugunan. Kaya't ipapagpatuloy talaga namin yung vlog na ito.
Marcos also again thanked his supporters who continue reacting to and sharing his content on social media. Incoming Press Secretary Trixie Cruz Angeles earlier said they are working on accrediting vloggers to cover Malacañang under Marcos's administration. The Philippines recorded 219 new COVID cases Sunday, the third straight day new cases went over 200. The number of active cases stands at 2,479. But the positivity rate for the week is at 1.22%, slightly lower than the previous week's 1.24%. The improving numbers have pushed the Philippines to its highest ranking yet in the Nikkei COVID Recovery Index. From being at the bottom of the international publications list in September 2021, the country has jumped nearly 90 spots to 33. Health Secretary Francisco Duque III attributes the improved COVID figures in the country to the compliance of Filipinos to minimum public health guidelines.
The Johns Hopkins University survey from September to April this year, no? 91 to 96% ang masking rate or compliance ng Pilipinas. Yeah. And that's really very good because it really synergizes or complements our vaccination to curb the transmission. And that's why it is small wonder that our transmission rate is very low. In fact, our case load metric shows yung average daily attack rate plus, of course, our growth rate as a minimal to low risk, no? Low to very low risk. No? And then our healthcare utilization rate is also very low.
Presidential Advisor Joey Concepcion says government should at least start discussions about removing the country's state of public health emergency. The health department has warned against lifting this as it would invalidate the emergency use authorization of vaccines and drugs against the disease. But Concepcion believes the country is ready to do away with such status, citing its improving COVID situation. He also urges government to consider the sale of COVID vaccines in drugstores.
What we want to do is that if eventually the public will buy their own vaccines, the vaccine manufacturers will have to apply for CPR. No? So this is a certificate of registration, no? and product registration. Important. And right now we're under emergency use authority. No? In other words, the government guarantees the safety of, protects the pharmaceutical company and of course the individual in case something happens. But that cannot go on forever. No, we've seen these vaccines very safe. So I think we should move and transit that they eventually this should be sold in the drugstores.
Going to take another break. Still ahead, Britain caps off 4 days of celebrations to mark Queen Elizabeth's 70 years on the throne. This is Dateline Philippines. Stay with us here on ANC. Back with more news. Motorists may want to fill up their tanks today as a big-time oil price hike looms on Tuesday. Diesel prices will see the biggest jump of 6 pesos and 55 centavos per liter. Kerosene will increase by 5 pesos and 45 centavos per liter, while gasoline prices will rise by 2 pesos and 70 centavos per liter. The hike follows the European Union's partial ban on Russian oil imports. Increasing demand due to the summer driving season in the U.S. as well as easing COVID restrictions in China also sent crude prices in the world oil market higher last week. Here at home, the price of gasoline has gone up by nearly 24 pesos per liter. Diesel by 30 pesos and kerosene by 27 pesos since the start of the year. Transport regulators unlikely to approve a fare hike under the outgoing administration despite the string of pump price increases. Jackie Minabat now joins us with that story. Jackie, over to you.
Carmina, the Land Transportation Franchising and Regulatory Board has yet to decide on the pending fare hike petitions amid high oil prices. However, the regulatory board is not keen on approving the increase in fare rates sought by various transport groups, particularly the jeepney operators. LTFRB Executive Director Maria Cristina Cachon said that a fare hike is unlikely under the current administration. The hearings for the fare hike petitions are on June 28th and 29th, the last week of the Duterte administration. The transport groups sought a minimum fare of at least 14 to 15 pesos from the current 9 pesos. The petition was filed back in January 2022. This week, oil prices will likely go up by as much as 6 pesos or more than 6 pesos per liter amid the continuing volatility in world prices driven by the Ukraine-Russia crisis. Transport groups said some of their members have already shifted jobs. They also no longer expect the current or the outgoing administration to act on the petitions. Public utility jeepney drivers say they are in a hard-pressed situation as they ply the roads with no assurance that they would bring home enough pay. And the transport leaders are set to meet today, Monday, to discuss their next move. They're not expecting the government or the outgoing administration's approval on their fare hike petitions. LTFRB explained that while there is no approved fare hike, the government has laid out a basket of solutions to help drivers and even the passengers, such as financial aid for the public utility drivers and the subsidized bus rides like the busway. While some passengers find the libreng sakay or the subsidized bus ride valuable, others could not endure the extraordinarily long lines and hours of waiting to board the free-of-charge ride. These free rides are expected to terminate by the end of the month. However, LTFRB says these free rides could be extended late July or early August. There's no assurance of that. The government has spent around 6 billion pesos in the last 8 weeks to cover the cost of these free rides. and they said that the local government units could take on or continue the projects. Aside from the free rides, LTFRB said they are helping the public utility drivers through financial aid, and they are expected to be completed this week. Those public utility vehicles under LTFRB will receive $6,500 per unit, or that's a total of 264,578 beneficiaries. LTFRB is hoping that the next administration will find ways to carry over or continue the programs to support the public transportation industry amid the high oil prices. Fermina?
Thanks a lot. Jackie Manabat there joining us on the line. Take care, Jackie. Keep safe. Back here in the newsroom and talking about free rides, Grab Philippines set to provide free shuttle rides for travelers at the Ninoy Aquino International Airport. The free rides will start on June 15 and will last until the end of the month and will be from 8 in the evening to 11 p.m. The Transportation Department says the offer is part of Grab's participation in the agency's free ride program. This is also being implemented at the MRT3 and EDSA bus carousel. But a commuters group points out, despite the positive response from the public, the free ride program is not a long-term transport solution.
Give to the people what is due to the people. Bigyan po natin, hindi po dole out, hindi yung palimos. Hindi po natin kailangan pampalubag-loob. Ang kailangan po natin ay permanent solution.
Police have identified the driver of that SUV involved in a viral hit-and-run incident in Mandaluyong that left a security guard badly injured. That suspect now facing frustrated murder charges. Ara Perez now joins us with details. Ara, what more can you tell us?
Hermina, the security guard hit by an SUV driver in Mandaluyong yesterday is now recovering in the hospital. Mandaluyong PNP Chief Police Colonel Govin Uno said the driver of the RAV4 with plate number NCO3781 has been identified and is set to be charged with a frustrated murder case. Based on the video, which has gone viral on social media, the security guard asked the vehicle to stop. Instead of doing so, the driver hit the guard, who fell on the ground. Despite this, the driver continued moving forward and once again hit the security guard. Una said the guard was merely implementing traffic management when he asked the driver to stop to pave the way for other motorists as the vehicle was on the junction. He appealed to motorists to respect traffic rules and those enforcing them, and during accidents, to attend to them and assess the situation. Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Ara Perez there joining us on the line. Well, Britain's Queen Elizabeth makes a surprise appearance on the balcony of Buckingham Palace to mark the final day of her Platinum Jubilee celebrations. The Queen had to skip earlier events due to mobility issues. The four-day festivities were capped with a day-long pageant lauding her record 7 decades on the throne. Shortly after the celebrations, the monarch said she was humbled and deeply touched by the crowd, adding she will continue to serve her people to the best of her ability. Gwendolyn Fornyol of Negros Occidental will represent the Philippines in the Miss World 2022 pageant. She was crowned the national winner Sunday night, besting 35 other candidates. She succeeds Tracy Maureen Perez, who finished in the top 12 of the international pageant held in Puerto Rico just this March. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.